Okay, it's Crane Christian Church. You guys taking the youth out, baby? You taking the youth out? Don't let them get in them groceries next door. Don't let them touch my stuff. Okay. Matthew. And guys, we're going to be, as we're going into Easter, this is the last week we'll be continuing in order like this. How many of you guys like to work through the Word of God? I'm just telling you, it matters. I would love to pick and choose just the stuff I want out of the Bible. That'd just be great. But that don't work, okay? Because it's a living, breathing, alive document, okay? And I just can't pick and choose. So we work through there, and some of it's a spanking, and some of it's a loving. Okay. So this morning we're going to get to 17 and 24, and what a horrible title. It's tax time! I like that title, but it is what it is. So, and it is actually tax time, don't forget to pay your taxes so I can, keep working. Anyway, but the point being is this. Matthew 17:24, New King James says this. And they came to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and says, does your teacher not pay the temple tax? Okay. Interesting question, isn't it? And he said, yes. And when he had come to the house, Jesus anticipated him saying, what do you think, Simon? From what do the kings of the earth take custom or taxes, from their own sons or from strangers? I want you to think about that. So let's just pretend that I have a friend who has a restaurant. Well, I'm looking for that friend, by the way, if you're nearby. And me and that friend are in covenant. And we hang together, we run together, whatever. And I come in and they say, what do you want to eat? And they say, well, I'll have a hamburger because that's the one what I get. Tater tots, something like that. Fry some onions and put on, I'm getting hungry, you can tell. But honestly, and they cook it and they bring it out and I say, well, yeah, I don't know, how much is that? And they go, you don't know anything. You're family. Okay? But then strangers come in and they order the same thing. Cost them $15, don't it? Does that make sense to you? $15. So that's who they get through. That's how they have a business. That's how they keep the money going. Okay? So as a king, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he says, who am I? Where do I get my taxes? Do I get it from my sons? Or do I get it from the world, those who aren't? And here's the deal. Did you know what the Bible says, that the wealth of the unrighteous is laid up for the righteous? Did you know that it says that? And it's like, I read that and I go, wow, that's interesting. Did you know when Israel left Egypt, they asked the Egyptians? They didn't steal, they didn't rob, they didn't come in and knife fight them for their stuff. They said, hey, we want some stuff. We've been working for y'all for 500 years, or it's 400, maybe. David, is it 400 or 500? 400? That sounds right. Anyway, and they gave them the riches of Egypt. They walked out with it. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. And you're going, Bruce, what is this about finances? No. This is about our place in the body of Christ. Listen, are you a son and a daughter of the Most High God? He has a plan for you, and it's the best plan. But watch this. This is, and you say, oh boy, that I like point number one. That was actually just the introduction. But watch this. Here's the deal, guys. He says, nevertheless, because how many times in the Bible does it say? Nevertheless. Okay. Lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you open its mouth, you will find a piece of money. And go take that, give them for me and you. Go pay. In other words, God will provide. Is that what that says?
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you, do you know that if he had said, no, I just don't believe in fishing on Tuesdays or whatever. I'm going to have to get my own money. And he could have paid the tax himself, couldn't he? Or he could have been obedient. Remember what the middle three letters in obedience is? Die. Dying to our fear, dying to our flesh, dying to our tradition, dying. You realize the reason you're saved is because Jesus died.
Yes.
And he calls us to the same path. And we're not going to drink Kool-Aid after this is over. Relax. Okay. But the bottom line is this, guys. Seriously, we have to die to even our intellect sometimes. And here's the deal. Pay your taxes, okay? Don't get in trouble. Follow the laws of the land. We want to get along with this. We're in an earthly system. Do what you're supposed to do. But guys, watch this. The bottom line is what he's saying is you are part of a different system, and I will provide for you. Is that what it says? Is that what happened in this?
Yep.
Okay, that's two of you. I'll ask again. Is that what it says?
Yes.
Okay. And now we can worry all day long about taxes. We want to. We can worry all day long about this. We can worry. What? I'm getting older. I don't know what's going to happen now. So and so is running for whatever, and so and so is doing this. And what if this happens? What if this happens? You can worry. You can get the drizzles over it if you keep thinking about it. But here's the deal. Whatever that means, I heard it on the movie. But the bottom line is, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and a sound mind. Are you ready for that? You want to be loved? I do. Do you want your mind to be sound? I do. So let's quit fearing. Okay. Now, we're getting down to the sermon. 157 points, and we'll be out here in 6 months. You ready? Chapter 18. I want to tell you, the last part of 17 and 18, all the way through, wears me out. And I'm not saying that, guys. I overuse that saying probably, but there's truth after truth after truth after truth after truth. It's like, you want to cram all that in one chapter? Could we divide that up? So the good news is we're on a lifetime program here. So at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? We're going to have a preacher's meeting. How many come to your church? We had 164 last week. We had 350. We have 7 campuses. We have this. We have that. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of God? Praise the Lord. 1995, you can have that DVD. Okay. Because they're thinking earthly, right? Are they thinking earthly? Who's the great? Okay, is it the guy who gives the most money? Is it the guy who gives up the most? Is it the guy who's number one? Because I'm competitive. I want to win this. You know, I want to beat y'all because y'all need it. Oh no, that's a different story. But anyway, I want to be ahead of y'all. That's a better way to say it. I mean, really, how do we do this? How can I be just a little better than Lauren? Because you know, it's not that hard right now. But how? Yeah, I pick on him. That's okay. He likes it. Makes him feel special. Okay. So, here's the deal. Jesus called a little child to him in the middle of them. When I studied this week, I had to stop. And I had to sit. And I had to pray. Because over and over in studying the life of Jesus, in this series, I've had to do that. Because I want to tell you something. Just pretend, okay, we're all trying to get to Springfield from here. I'm talking, this is in the natural. We're just trying to get to Springfield, okay? And every once in a while, you get the map out and you think, I'm in Cameron City. I'm going the wrong way. Is that blue eye? Brain feels that way. You see what I'm, or actually that way, but you see what I'm saying? And that's what the Word of God is. It's not that we've gotten off the mat. We just may be taking steps in the wrong direction. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So watch this. He brings this kid in. He brings this child in. Okay? And he said, assuredly I say unto you, unless you are, and this is the word, it's where I stopped. Unless you are converted. Another version says, unless you turn around and go the other way. Repentance means to turn. Unless you repent, one version says, unless you change. Because you know what Christianity is I'm a little better Christian than you are because I have the theological knowledge that now that I know this and you don't know this and I know this and that makes me a little bit smarter than you, which now everything's better because I'm smart. Look at me, look at me, look at me. And I want to tell you, right in the middle of the pros and cons of culottes, or whatever they argued about, the Jewish and the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the look of there you sees, or whatever the sees, all the sees they had, is you look at that, and right in the middle of that, he says, here's a child. Unless you guys become like this child, unless you change, you're not going to get in the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to think about this. How about a pow? I mean, these are guys who have left everything to follow him. He's done told them he's going to be crucified twice. That don't mean he's going to be crucified twice. He's already told them twice at this point, I'm going to be crucified. This is going to happen. And their brains are spinning, and now they're saying, you got to give up all this stuff that you think so important, that you do this and you do that, and that makes you this and that makes you that. You got to give that up and become like this child. Think about it. That child was totally dependent upon those who were taking care of him. Are you totally dependent on your salvation from the blood, from the grace, from the mercy, from the chosen, selected, preordained, predestined by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Or is it because, you know what, I voted for the right guy last time, and I drive the right car, and I do this, and I've got the right haircut, which I don't right this minute. But anyway, I did have a PhD, which is a Pentecostal heritage. But anyway, but the point being is this, right? Who are you depending on? Who humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And then who receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Now, that would be a great time for me to talk about children's ministry, to talk about, you know, us being good to kids, and all that is absolutely true. Kim and I have done that. We've had been youth pastors. We've been, and guys, all of that's 100% true. That we value our youth, that we value our children, that we do those things. But guys, I want to put it in a context, a larger context. You see, many, many years ago, a friend of mine was going into the mission field. And I'd known him all his life. And the girl he married was my next door neighbor. Okay, two doors over. Okay, and you know, we used to play freeze tag. You know, I mean, I knew these people. I knew them from second grade. Okay. And I loved them. And they were part of a religious system that I was a part of. And I loved them. And I will never forget, I had moved, gotten married, and they came to the church that we were at, and they're talking. And I will never forget this. Think about this. This is 40 years ago, and I remember this. It's still, he says, I want you to think about an orchard, like an apple orchard, okay? And he said, let's say that we have 100 acre And what we do is we come in the middle of that and we set up a 10-acre area that we polish each apple. We take time and we polish each apple. We do this, we do that. We make sure there's not one piece of trash, there's nothing on the ground. They get all the amount of water. And he said, what's happened in the church is we stayed in those 10 acres of making more apples and more apples like us, you know, and all this. And when there's 90 acres of apples out here that nobody's taken care of. And he went overseas to do that for years. He was in a portion of China somewhere, I'm not really sure. But the point being is this, guys. I want you to put that in the context of this scripture. Because it's all about God bless me and we and so that we're fine and all, and we're divine. And I don't care about them because they're bad people anyway. Okay, I want you to think about that. God has called us, and I'm not taking up an offering. This is not an offering. This is about our heart. Because I'm going to tell you, the reason that Kim has everything I have is because she has my heart. She has my heart, the stuff that she knows about. Anyway, that's a side, you know, some of y'all aren't laughing. Anyway, okay. But here's this thing. I know that guy. He's a stinker. Okay. But as Kim said, Bruce, you're a plotter. But anyway, so here's the deal. As we look at this, as we lay this out, this little child represents people who don't know the gospel, who can't take care of themselves, who don't, and people different than yourselves, okay? And we're all about, oh, you're bad because you do that. You're bad because you did that. You're bad because you do that. You're bad because, you know, the Bible says this and you're not doing that. And I want to tell you something. If people that are good to my children, they've got my graces. People that are bad to my children, we won't talk about that. Okay? That's not nice. Okay? My mama says, be nice when you can, son. But watch this. Are you being nice to people outside these doors? Are you knowing that as you, watch this, you say, well, this is just talking about kids. No, these little ones, because before long, we get the parable of the lost sheep. In verse 10, take heed that you don't despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven the angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven, for the Son of Man has come and saved that which is lost. The good people, the people that think like you do, the smart people, the people that are your color, the people that are your political persuasion, the people that are whatever. Is that who Jesus come to die for? Just us and our little 10 acres and we're polishing them apples? Or did he come for the world? And I want to tell you, y'all need to start being nice to each other. Me too. Okay. When I'm in the mirror, I preach to myself. Okay. But what do you think if a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek that which is straying? And should he find it, assuredly, I say that he rejoices more over that than the 99 that did not go astray. I found my sheep. I found, you know, it was lost. It was in, and this illustration is over and over in the Bible. We won't have time today to get it because my wife's next door. We're going to eat here in a minute, and that's very important to me. But here's the deal, God. No, all joking aside, he has called us to go into the world to preach the gospel to every living creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And you go, well, I'm too old to be a missionary. Did you go to Porter's last week? I'm too old to be a missionary. Did you go to work last week? And I'm not talking about, I'm not saying allowing the Holy Spirit to live and to work through you and to love each other. And I'm going to tell you something. Love is hard to argue with. Amen. Theology is easy to argue with. Well, you know, the Greek word for that means so-and-so. It's easy, okay? But love is hard to argue with. And when people are good to my kids, guess what? I bless them. And when people are bad to my kids, I don't seem to bless them as much. What a sweet way to put it. Okay. Well, guys, watch this. Even so, it's not the will of the Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. And you say, well, you know, you talk a lot about chosen, selected, preordained, predestined from the foundation of the earth. I'm going to tell you something. God has a big, big house. And he's put a lot of rooms in it. He said, I'm going to wait to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come again and get you. And I'm going to tell you something. I want everybody to go with me. I want to proclaim and live a life that says, he redeemed me and he will redeem you. So, three pictures. We're going to do it real quick. Possibly. Okay. Number one. Let me tell you something. At Christmas, I want all my kids there. Whenever we get together, I want all my kids there. Okay. When we have a family get together, I don't want them to be three of my four kids. I don't want to be two of my four. I want all of them. I want all the grandkids. I want everybody there. Okay. Because I love them all. And I want them there. Okay. So the bottom line is here's the situation. As a father, on my worst day, I'm an average to poor father. And on my worst day, I want the very best for my kids. And God wants the very best for you. He wants the very best for the people around you. He wants, God is love. Is that what it says?
Yeah.
And I want to tell you something. Love is not some gooey, wooey, emotional thing. That it is a choice. And he chooses to love humankind, even in our stinkiness. Okay? And here's the deal. He loves. And as a father, I want to tell you something. He has blessed me. Anything I've ever done for the least of these, for the, you know, he blesses me over, if nothing else, and he blesses me physically for it also, but if nothing else, it's like, God, I'm actually doing your will. So let's get off of our high horses first and quit thinking we got all that, we got all this, because we're all that. And I will tell you something, he is all that. And he has saved, redeemed, and his desire is for the lost as a father. And the second thing, the second picture I want to show you this morning very quickly is as a husband. You know, there's, when you say the word Gomer, you always think about Gomer Pyle. You know, and that was a funny show. I watched that. But Gomer was the wife of the prophet. And what she did is he bought her and God told him to bring her home in her prostitution, to bring her home and to marry her. And then she left because we, like sinners, have all gone astray. Is that right?
Amen.
And then God said, go get her back. Go get her back, because she's your wife. And you say, well, I don't like that story. Well, the first time I read it, I thought, well, that's something. That's something. He had children by her and named them. And those names mean something. We don't have time to get into this morning. But I want to tell you something. As a husband, let me tell you something. He's preparing his bride. And he's preparing his bride, Jesus, our bridegroom. And he wants his bride. And listen, I want to tell you, the spotlessness that's coming to come to us will be by the blood and the grace and the mercy of God. And yeah, you know, we need to slam up a little bit to get in that dress. There's no doubt about that. But the point, and that's nothing to do with physical, that's spiritual. To take off those things that are dragging us down and hold us back. But here's the deal, and to walk in his path and to do the things, that's another sermon. But the bottom line is he looks at us as the prophet looks at Gomer and he says, I want her in obedience to my father. I want her. And guys, we judge everybody by what we know. You don't know what those people have been through. You don't know what, listen, as a doing what I do when I'm not in this building, when I'm not pastoring, I've been in law enforcement for 40 plus years. The stuff that I've seen, the stuff that I've worked, the stuff that I've seen this week, the stuff that I've heard about this week. Okay. Guys, life is hard. And some of us have been very protected, some of us haven't, but I want to tell you something. He loves us like a faithful husband, like a father, like a faithful husband. And then I want to tell you something. He has a covenant obligation. It's the last one. As Ruth came in and laid at the feet of her kinsman redeemer. This morning, he is calling us to lay at the feet of our kinsman redeemer. And what happened was, he woke up and said, Ruth, hey, so you need to be redeemed. And he went and paid the price for her land and for her and brought her home. And that's the lion that Jesus came from. Lion, L-I-N, okay, not lion, lion, okay, that he came from. And Ruth being not even part of the Jewish line, bringing her in. And listen, I'm going to tell you, he has grafted us Gentiles into the vine to receive from him. He's your daddy this morning, guys, and I'm closing. But he's your daddy this morning, and he's calling to you. He's saying, come unto me, all ye are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. As the faithful, obedient husband, he comes and he will bring you home so that you don't have to stray and try to fulfill your desires by the lust of this world. It will not pay. It will not satisfy you. And as our Redeemer this morning, guys, let's lay at his feet. In our bad bloodline, in our stupid past, and say, Lord, I need a redeemer. And he will pay us. He will bring us back. He will pay for what life has done for us or done to us. And Father, we receive that message this morning from you this morning, whether you're online or whether you're here this morning. Just know that his desire is to spend eternity with you. Call out to him today and say, Lord, I need a Savior. I'm a sinner. I failed and come so short of your glory. Help me, oh God, through your Son, Jesus. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins, for all of our sins, and then rose from the dead to show us the power and the grace at the hand of God. So, Lord, we believe this morning. Help us to be the men and women you've called us to be. Lord, I pray that you bless these people, keep them, let your light shine on them, and give them peace. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen. The end.